And now Nathan's already 5 years old, so it's been a long journey, very rewarding journey. You know, I have learned a lot. I think that there's a lot that he has shown to me through his life that I couldn't see before, you know. Before he was born, I was already in my heart preparing, you know, to include him in everything. So I prepared this birth announcement. I think Haley still remembers. So I put a picture of Nathan, because Nathan, he's a baby first, you know, and every child that is born, it needs to be celebrated. So basically, on this birth announcement, I was sharing that I have this baby boy, this beautiful baby boy. I'm proud of him. I love him. He was made by God. And you know what? This baby, he happens to have Down syndrome, you know. But don't feel sorry about me. I'm celebrating his life. I'm a new mom. We are new parents. Congratulate us, you know. So since the beginning, I was ready, you know, to show Nathan to the world, to show that I love him, I accept him, I'm learning. I think we are all learning together. I didn't hide him from friends, you know, so I was open. If you want to ask me, come. You know, if you want to get to know my child, come, I'm open, you know. And it was very positive, you know. People were more open, you know. People were coming and say, oh, how's the baby? Congratulations, you know. So it helped a lot. It helped a lot. I think that when people see that you're comfortable, you know, you are open, it makes everything easier. You're not hiding a secret, you know. It's not something that is shameful, you know. And then since he was a baby, I was really devoted to his development, you know. I think God, he blessed us by providing my husband a good job so I could be a stay-at-home mom and dedicate all my life to my two children. So since the beginning, from 0 to 3, there's a program from Regional Center. Haley, she might share a little bit more later. So I had a service coordinator helping me find what Nathan needed, you know, to achieve the milestones, you know. So he had occupational therapy, physical therapy, infant stimulation, many different kinds of services that would support us and support Nathan in his development, you know. So I think for new families that have a new baby with a disability, it's important to know about those services, you know. I think the earlier you can help your child, the better. Then we moved to another transition, because when he turned 3 years old, we had to move to the school district, you know. So the school district, they would be the one in charge, responsible for his education. Very scary transition, to say the least, you know. So we deal every year around his birthday, a meeting with many professionals. I would say in our case, at least 15 professionals sitting, talking about my child, you know. It is so hard, you know, and telling me this is what he can do and this is what he needs to learn, you know. So again, I had to educate myself, read a lot, you know, talk to people, advocate for my child, you know. And of course, throughout this journey, I think God, he has been with us, you know, giving, building my patience, my forgiveness, you know. Because at the beginning, it was really easy to take things on a personal level, you know. And then if you do that, you really get hurt, you know, because people are talking about my child, you know, they're talking about these things that it hurts so much, you know. And I think I've been learning to forgive, because we are all learning, you know, and sometimes people might say rude things, you know. I forgive them. I forgive these people, because they are not on my shoes. They are not living what I'm living, you know. Extend grace to them and share with them about what I know. Educate them as well, you know. I think that our kids with special needs, they have so many talents, but people don't see that because they are so focused on the disability. You know, it's the child with the autism, it's the Down syndrome boy. It's not Nathan, it's the Down syndrome first, you know. So I still have to remind them, you know, it's Nathan first. He's a child, you know, he is Nathan. And Nathan, he happens to have Down syndrome, but he is not Down syndrome. You know, it's part of his genetic makeup. But it doesn't define him, you know, of what he's capable of what he can learn, or what he can be in the future. And then it's for all types of disabilities, you know. So also I have to learn about how to talk, to use people first language, you know, with respect, being respectful towards these people, you know. I've been learning so many things. I've been learning sign language because my son is nonverbal. I never thought in my mind that I would learn sign language. And so many other skills, you know, that I have now because of Nathan. I say, oh my God, look, I can do this. I never knew I would do this in my life, in my whole life, you know. I had such a comfortable life before, you know. I would never picture myself doing all that I can do today. So, we always have the ideal world, you know, but we have the real world, so we have to be flexible. There are many things that can change how we deal day by day, you know, the routine. Because our kids with disabilities, they have things that might affect how they communicate, how they socialize. So we, most often, we would have plan A, B, and sometimes C, you know. Okay, if we go to church, if he starts running, what do we do? If he throws a tantrum, what do? You know, we split, you know, as a couple. You go to the English service for 30 minutes, I stay with him for 20 minutes at the toddler room or Sunday school room, you know. So even at church, we had to be creative, you know, to come and join the service and receive God's message too. And you know what, we need to come here. This is where we belong. I think we need to connect with brothers and sisters and receive these friendships, you know, and grow together. We all want our kids to have friends, to develop friendships, you know. So many times I would think, why is such a battle at the school, you know, and does it have to be a battle at church to have my son come here? You know, it doesn't have to be this way, you know. Do you all know Ruth or no? She's the children's ministry here. And she noticed, you know, oh my God, Sandra, she comes with Johnson, and they split, you know, they take turns so they cannot attend service. Or they bring their rescue person to look at Nathan so they can attend the service. You know, and she approached me one day and, you know what, let's make this easier for your family, you know. Let's find some volunteers so you can, you know, go to service and enjoy and share. And you use your rescue person for yourself, you know, because the purpose is to relieve stress, you know. So you can do something else. But here at the church, you know, we are the body of the Christ. So, you know, we all need each other. We all can help each other somehow, you know. And she was so nice. I told Joseph, oh my God, I can't believe this, because it never crossed my mind to ask for help or to ask, can we have volunteers, you know. It never crossed my mind, you know. And we are growing and growing and growing here, and we see Nathan going to Sunday school. We are helping Sunday school teachers and volunteers to learn more about Nathan, learn more about disability, learn more about how can I welcome this kid here? How can I share about Nathan with his classmates and with his parents? Parents are really important, you know, because kids, they come back home and they ask questions. Why is Nathan, a baby? Because Nathan, he's still not potty trained. He doesn't talk and he's small. I think he's a baby, you know. So parents, they can step in and say, you know what, Nathan is 5 years old just like you. He's not a baby. But, you know, Nathan, he was born with Down syndrome and, you know, he needs to work with this and this and this. But he can also do this and this and this just like you. You know, so after all, he's not that different than you, you know. We all have little differences, like some people are short, some people are tall, some people are blonde, you know. So I think there's this beauty in kids growing together and learning about diversity, learning about helping each other, about patience, tolerance, about I can be a buddy, you know. I can make good choices because I'm a role model to him. If I make good choices, I think Nathan will learn a little bit about good choices too, you know. But of course, it's always really good to have an adult supporting these kids and explaining to them, you know. It's a process. So I think that's why I brought it here. It's not disability awareness, it's ability awareness, you know. This is, I think, where we should focus. I think acceptance, it starts when we talk about it, when we understand a little bit more about the condition, and when we feel comfortable. We have to feel comfortable with the presence of the person, you know, and somehow make them feel that they belong to, you know. Not exclude. Don't exclude, please. And that works out as well for the families, you know, when you see a new family coming, make eye contact. If you don't want to stop and have a conversation, you can always make an eye contact and smile, you know, or wave to our kids, you know. This is interaction. We feel that we are being acknowledged. Because we do notice when people stare at us because it's a different family. We do notice when you are looking at Nathan, you know, and then you avoid him. We do notice that. It hurts, you know. It hurts. And we do know when, and Nathan knows too, if people like him or not. He has the sixth sense. He knows. He knows. He knows who likes him and he knows who doesn't like him. At this really young age, you know, he knows. So he's only 5 years old, but he can feel this. He can read body language. He can read facial expression, you know. And he understands what you're saying, even though he's not verbal. So he's happy most of the time, but he has the full range of emotions. You know, he gets sad, he gets mad, angry, upset, jealous, you know. So let's not forget that besides being happy, you know, he's a person just like us, with all kinds of emotions, you know. So he knows your intentions too. And he knows if he's being welcome and embraced. He knows that. When we do a little training here for the volunteers and Sunday school teachers, we talk about a little bit about Nathan's way of communication, sensory issues that sometimes kids with disability have, you know, too much noise, the light, texture. Sometimes it's part of the disability. It can be autism, Down syndrome, you know, ADHD. Sometimes there are things that impact their learning, their social, emotional, communication skills. So I think if you are able to understand a little bit, it helps you help this child when they need help. Okay? Because then you're not blaming the child. Oh, that child, he's a bad kid. He has behaviors, you know. The parents, they don't know how to educate this child. But did you know that, you know, the type of light triggers something in him and he goes crazy? You know, that's part of his disability. You know? So if you know that, you have more understanding. There's more empathy, you know. And you can work on ways that, okay, how can we make this work? Let's work together. Let's find, okay, let's have a dimmer in the room, you know. These are all ways that we can help these kids to be included. I think at church also, sometimes in the Asian community, there's a lot about, how would I say, sometimes they think that disability occurs because of sin, you know. So they would say, who sinned? The parents or the child? They did something, so God is, you know, punishing them. Still today, some people think like this. Or some people say it's karma, you know. So there's something here that I wrote. John 9:3. It's not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. And one of my favorites is this one here, Psalm 139:13-14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So I always have these two in my mind, these two verses, you know. And it brings me a lot of peace, you know, to know that when God formed Nathan, he was not punishing anyone. We didn't do anything wrong. And God had his plans. I think maybe the Down syndrome in Nathan was a plan of God. So God could be seen in Nathan. You understand what I'm saying? You know? And through his life, I think people will get to develop a stronger relationship with God, with Jesus, through his life, through his abilities, through things that we have to really make an effort to see, if we are willing to see, you know. So I'm going to show you a little bit also. This is a slide show that I have prepared for Nathan School, but I use a church too, so I can just change it a little bit here and there. So we can start with this one here. Yeah. So this is a way to introduce Nathan, especially for kids, because this is really visual. So the world is full of all kinds of people, and no one is exactly alike. You can change, Johnson, please. Yeah. Everyone has something to teach us, and that includes you. So we are going to talk about how we are alike and different, and what is Down syndrome, and what does it mean to be a good friend at church. Just to highlight, Down syndrome is the most common genetic condition. It occurs in 1 to 700 births. There are about 400,000 people with Down syndrome in the United States. And I think the Down syndrome population is one that has been giving a lot of support. Like 50 years ago, they would go to institutions, you know, because doctors would say, there's no hope, mom. Just leave your child at this institution. There's no hope. He will be useless to society. There's nothing that this child can contribute, you know. And now, what do we see now? We see them at Special Olympics, modeling, you know, Gap magazine, Target. We see them everywhere with their abilities, making movies, painting, sports. So there's a lot that they can do. They are capable, you know. They can have a happy life. They can get married. Some do get married. Some do get a driver's license. Very few, but it's possible. So, endless opportunities. So we can raise expectations. Yeah, you can change. So are you the same as everyone in your church, or are you different? So guess what? We are not the same. But we can be friends. So there might be some kids at church who you think are so different. What? That you can be friends with them. Is that true? So someone in your church has something different. It's called Down syndrome. And that person is Nathan. That's Nathan, that's my boy. Okay? But again, he's Nathan first, who happens to have Down syndrome. Okay? Yeah, you can turn. So this is a little bit of explanation for the kids. Maybe, I don't know, biology, fourth grade, they learn a little bit more? I don't know. Yeah, can change. So basically, he says about the chromosomes. Yeah. So 23, do you still remember? Yeah. 23 for a mom, 23 for dad. Okay, change. So it tells us of how we're going to be changed. If you have blonde or brown hair, you can change. Good dancer or not. But what happens with Down syndrome is that this tiny little guy here, okay, we have one more extra copy here. Okay. So on the chromosome 21. And then you are born with Down syndrome. And we tell the kids, you know, you can only have Down syndrome if you are born with Down syndrome. You don't catch Down syndrome. Down syndrome is not a disease. Okay? So that's the explanation there. Change. And when you have Down syndrome, usually you have weak muscles. And there's an intellectual disability. So it takes more time for the kids to learn things. But it doesn't mean that they will not learn. Okay? So we have to work harder. So at home, we also always reinforce what is being taught at school. Okay, so to help him learn things, and we practice many skills with him. So things that I never thought we would have to do at home, you know. Many parents, they just work, they pick up the kids at school. They go back home, they, you know, check homework, serve dinner. That's it, you know. My day is really busy. Nathan's day is really busy. He goes to school, does a lot of therapies every day. There's a lot of teaching him whatever he needs to learn at school. If it's numbers, alphabet, we are doing that at home. We help him try to strengthen his muscles so he's able to talk, potty training, so many things. Many emails every day to teacher, to therapist, phone calls, to insurance, a doctor appointment. I never thought my day would go by so fast. 24 hours is not enough, you know. And I still have to care for my husband, for my daughter, for the house. You know, I'm the last one on the list. Truly, I'm the last one. I'm exhausted by the end of the day. But I have to do it, you know. There they go. Doing oral motor therapy, physical therapy here. Yeah. They are the hardest working people I know. And if you see his smile when he excels something, when he can accomplish something, that is priceless. He's so proud of himself. Like to say, Mom, I did it. You know, I got it. I can do this. You know. So this is priceless. Yeah. Next one. So it might take them longer, but they will get there. Sometimes people with Down syndrome need a little help. Sometimes. So don't always assume, you know, they always need help. Sometimes they do not need help. But sometimes, yes. Okay. But I think this is the most important. Be a true friend. You know, include him. And remember that Nathan has gifts to offer you. I remember when he was attending preschool at Head Start, and the kids knew that Nathan is nonverbal. And whenever he attempted to say a new word, they would come to me. It was like a party. Nathan's mom, they would call me Nathan's mom. Nathan's mom, Nathan tried to say car. Can you believe that? They were celebrating, you know. So, he was included at this program. It was a full inclusive classroom program. And, you know, I think the kids, they learned a lot. I think it works both ways. It's beneficial for Nathan and for the kids who are learning with him too, you know. Remember, Nathan is just like you. He just has one extra chromosome. He's a good brother, student, and friend. Kids, they would love to hug him all the time. A lot of hugging. And the teacher, she would say, no, no hugging now, no hugging now. Yeah. Remember, people with Down syndrome are just like you. They work hard. They want friends. They want to be part of your life here at church. You are so blessed. Everyone in your church is valued, belongs, and is appreciated for their unique gift. The world is a better place when we play and are friends with each other. And together is better. I also have a little video. It's the video that I made for the end of Head Start program, the preschool that he attended. And I'm going to share that with you too. Any questions? Do you have anyone, do you know anyone that has Down syndrome? Or any other disability?
Autism.
Are these people going to church? How has been their relationship with having a place? It's difficult.
They have different activities, not just in that ability. We don't have the capability to help them.
Mm.
Or the parents to be shy to them. So we're definitely working with the parents more to encourage giving them ways to teach the children about God. And another thing is having the resources. It's one of the things that we're lacking for special ability, special needs.
Yeah, I think that's always a beginning. Some families, they need small groups, you know.
Definitely support as well.
Yeah, support. And
support.
Mm-hmm. And try to find ways to somehow help the families find, you know, God's presence in their lives too, you know. I understand it can be hard to leave your house with your child and go to church. But the church can, I think we can always brainstorm, you know. Each case is different, but we can always brainstorm and see, you know, how can we make this work for your family? You know, how can we accommodate him? One at a time, but you're making a difference for that child and for that family, one at a time. And you learn, okay, it worked for this family, you know. Let me see, there are other family, you know. And you grow with them. And you see, oh, wow, look. Even here, our hope is that someday we can have a special needs ministry. Why not? You know, we can start with just one. Maybe Nathan is the first one. I don't know. But we can start there, you know, with effort, with volunteers, with accommodating these kids with their needs, you know. So let's have hope and faith that
happening here. This church, this here in Almonte, we're just starting also from the raising awareness. This is all still new for this church. And then their group is doing a great job. Let people know that we have children, especially to be an adult community. And that's a, you know, I would love to say a big step for raising awareness. Yeah. Eventually, we, you know, can start next semester building ministry for the very first people. And then integrate them. For sure, it's God.
I think I have an article here. It's, some of you might be familiar with it. The LA Parent. There's just one chapter here just talking about special needs and their needs for spiritual growth. Yeah, special and spiritual. Everything here, you know. Saying how they need a church, how they need to feel safe, you know, how they need to connect to God. Find a purpose, you know, find that peace. Because we do need that. We do need that, you know. And the families need that too, you know. And we have to support mom and dad and siblings too. It's a journey for the whole family, you know. Some couples, they divorce because they cannot hold it together. It's really hard. But if you find God's grace and if you understand, you know, when we get married, when we got married, you know, there was a covenant, and, you know, in sickness and in health. And so it's not only on happy days. You know, I think God, he brings many of his messages through hardships. And it's really painful, but usually it's when we grow closer to Him and we see the bigger picture, you know, and oh, now I understand, you know. But 5 years ago, I couldn't understand, but now I see how you're working in my life and Nathan's life, and, you know, and actually it's not even about me or Nathan, it's about you. You're the big boss. It's about you, you know. You're just using our lives, you know, to show your works, your grace, you know. Yeah, we can watch the movie. Yeah. Domenica? Foi no bem. So this is the Head Start program. It's a full inclusive program. They are kids between 3 and 5 years old. Typical kids. Nathan was the only one with a disability, with a special need. Yeah. So he was given the opportunity to be with typical kids, to learn with them, you know, and this is how he will learn the best. Because now he's just a child, but he will become an adult someday. And I have to give him the opportunities, the tools, you know, to be an adult with his full potential, you know. Yeah. To interact, maybe hold a job. The sky is the limit. You know, we never know what Nathan will be in 10 years, 15 years. Inclusion is a teamwork. We have to collaborate with many people. So they went to this field trip. It was the hardest day. We saw maybe 2 animals because they were all hiding because of the... And I made one copy of this video I gave to each child last day of school, you know, so they could have a gift from Nathan, you know, and just a way to say thank you for including him, to be friends with him, you know, and I think he has learned a lot from each one of you, and I am sure that each one of you have learned something from him too, you know. So it was a very positive experience. Really positive for Nathan, for us, for the parents, for the children, for the teachers. It can be done. It can be done. It's a lot of work, but it can be done.
Yeah. We appreciate for Johnson and Sandra of the life, because I have one that is a dichotomy. He was perfect for me until he's 20 in college. What I learned from this disabled boy turned out to be something, it's some kind of weakness. Apparently, it's such a, any part of life
something struck you. This is not something important in God. You will be like, hey, I just made a disciple. So far, so lucky. But that can't be any moment. And life just was so precious.
Right.
And only that you don't really have a chance. But at the same time, I realize that's not other people's challenge. That's our challenge. Sometimes we want other people to look at our son, our children, the same like we look at them. And then we realize that's not possible. That's not practical. What I know is that we can find a way to prevent some kind of stereotype. It's not only that the people aware, like the one you mentioned, Central, the people have that kind of awareness. They don't know. This is a normal kid, but just with illness. That's it. Just like somehow someone had a liver cancer. It's the same thing. Unfortunately, this one we classify. So this is bipolar. This is that one. So that's our part. But I think in any church, especially church center, I guess that kind of awareness, people willing to move forward to spread our message. Because eventually, you are very percentage. But overall, in all society, based on the saturation, at least in the world, close to about 7% of people overall are disabled. So it's not something your son or my son or your daughter. No, that is going to happen. And so for church set up, we've got to have some kind of awareness, have understanding, and willing to accept the person. It's very simple. It's just that we got to accept it because those are people in among us.
All I think is important because there's a fear, the unknown. You don't know, right? But I give you an awesome example. Jesus. He always hangs with the blind, the mute. The guys with the leper, I mean, if I see a guy with a leper, I'm never going to get near to Jesus. He was aware of what's going on. He knew that. So he always close to those people. So if we all Christians want to be close to Jesus, we need to be like him. But the awareness, he just didn't have the fear. But a lot of people have fear because they don't know exactly. So that's why the awareness, you know, is going to help us to, you know, lose the fear, you know, and then get closer to and closer to people with a disability.
I think we still look at bright side. We're still fortunate in this country. This country was disabled. That means you are outcast. But you look like in Taiwan, I guess that would be much, much tougher. Be honest, in China, you don't need to say anything about it. You are out. You are just out. Don't cut out from society.
Mm-hmm.
But in this country, we still have acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting people really say, this is still a human being.
Right.
This is very different kind of human being, but still a beauty in this person. Yeah, we are in a way of fortunate. We need to go through the trim to be expelled totally out of that situation because that kind of mindset in our mind as a parent is very hard to wipe out. But with that kind of now, you look at that, just of course, in California, how much money they need to spend to invest on one disabled person. Yeah, and so the state and the whole country, they treat each person equal. Whatever it is they need, they just provide additional support. And their goal will really, they want to bring up, they will support all the way to the end, whatever is necessary. You see, definitely this is more than financial burden. This is sometimes beyond that. But just from the financial burden perspective, they are going to have some kind of security. One sure, really, it is not something that you back our family, financial, or anything. And so I guess overall, the support from all society over the medical field is just excellent.
Very quick. So
they became aware, I mean, United States people, Americans became aware of the disability. Now they're supporting them because they lost a hearing, and they know exactly what it means to people with disabilities. That's why we get all that support. Thanks for the people that help make those politicians aware of that.
Thank you all very much. Yeah, no talking about how the United States community can help.
That they have help for developmentally disabled kids. Thank you. I work for the regional center, and the regional center is an agency that helps the developmentally disabled. But a little bit about me before I start talking about regional center. I'm a mom. I have two children. I have a 15-year-old and 11-year-old. My 15-year-old is a girl. She goes to sophomore. She's going sophomore year at high school. And my 11-year-old just started middle school. So it is an adventure with them, too. But I also work full-time as a service coordinator at the regional center. I worked there for 8 years before I had my kids. And then after I had my kids, I had a little break. 10 years I stayed at home. I was a full-time mom. And then I was blessed by God to have my job back. I talked to my manager. She received me back. And I've been working for the regional center again. And I've been back there for, this is my 6th year. I'm also here at UFCLA. I'm a Sunday school teacher. And after I had my first one, I've been a teacher for preschool to kindergartners for, this is my 13th year. I love the little ones. I understand them and they understand me. Okay, so but what is the regional center? The regional center, they are nonprofit private corporations that contract with the Department of Developmental Services, and they serve and coordinate services and supports for individuals with developmentally disabled. So I do not know, you said that you have somebody that you know that is autistic, and you too. Do you know the regional center? Are they connected to the regional center? Do you know that or no? We do have a lot of children with developmental disability in the regional center. In California, there are 21 regional centers throughout the state, from northern to southern California. And we all we do is to serve the individuals with developmental disabilities. We look up regional centers by county, but here in LA County, if you live, where do you live?
Orange County.
We have a Orange County Regional Center. And you said you live Reseda. Looking in the zip code, you'll find out who is the regional center that serves you. Okay. Now, regional centers, basically regional centers provide diagnosis and assessment of eligibility. So if they do have a diagnosis of autism, you know, they might receive services from the regional center. They can receive services from the regional center. There is no charge for the diagnosis or eligibility or assessment. And that's something that we have it here in California. We have it here in the U.S. I also don't come. I was born and raised in Brazil. And in Brazil, at my time, they really are, they were very, very poor resources for developmentally disabled too. So I understand what you're saying about, you know, China. So, but here, you know, they have so many resources. They have so many things in the community for developmentally disabled, mentally health too. Service coordinators then are assigned, once they found eligible, they're assigned to a service coordinator, like Sandra was saying, and this person helps the family, help to access, coordinate, and monitor services and supports for the person who has developmentally disabled. There are all these services that a regional center can offer, information and referral, assessment and diagnosis, counseling, lifelong individualized planning, service coordination, purchase of necessary services, included the, you know, they include an individual program plan, resource development, outreach, assistance in finding and using community and other resources, advocacy for protection of legal, civil, and service rights, early intervention services, genetic counseling, family support, planning, placement. All these services are offered by the regional center, and they are all for developmentally disabled. So if you know anybody that might have a developmental delay or have a disability, you can go to the regional center that you belong to and just have an assessment and see if they will be eligible to receive services. I will talk a little bit about that too. And who is eligible for these services? That person must have had a developmental disability before age 18. And then we also serve infants and toddlers. And that's actually, like I said, I like the little ones. That's actually where I work. I work for the Early Star Unit in my regional center. And actually, the criteria is a little different from the before age 3 and after age 3. The ones that have 0 to 36 months, they just have to have a high risk of having a developmental disability. They do not have to have a developmental disability. Okay, next one. Now, eligibility at phase 3, they have to be diagnosed with intellectual disability, cerebral palsy, epilepsy, autism. So if they do have that diagnosis, then they will be found eligible for the services that the regional center can offer. Now, before age 3, they have to have a developmental delay, at least 33% in one of the developmental areas. They also have to have, or they have an established risk condition, like Down syndrome, they will also be eligible for services. Or if they are premature, if they have developmental delays, they will also be eligible for our services. And these are the consumers that I serve, the families that I serve. And these are the early intervention services. Another list of services that the regional center can help you access or can provide you with if you do not have the access to the services. Next. Okay, so this is what I do. I meet with the families. Once they come in, they have their assessment. They say, okay, these are all the reports we have. A team of specialists will sit down, look at the case, and they found out if they are eligible for services. Once they are eligible for services, then we'll provide service with them. I'll sit with the families. I will talk to them about all the services that they can have, and then I will try to help them to access those services. Okay. You talk a lot about over here in the church, and today, we're talking about special needs at church. A lot of the families that I get in contact with, they tell me I go to church, and church is where I find support, when I find my friends, and they're trying to learn how my kid is. So I think it's very important. That's very important because in the community, in the church is where they are finding their support. And it's so hard for them because they're just getting to know, like Sandra said, in the beginning it was so hard for her. And this is where we can provide them with that support at the church. Okay. Okay, I do not have a special needs child, but I have friends who have, and they are so much blessing for me. I know Nathan, but I do not also know other friends that have children with autism. Johnson said that Jesus, I was reading an article that said that if Jesus, placed his hands into the wounds of the hurt, he surrounded himself with the unclean, he loved the least of these, he cared for the broken, and he washed the dirty feet of the disciples. So that's what Johnson was saying. Jesus was there. He had hands on, right? So I think that's what he's telling us. We have to be there too. It's just not just see them over there and just, okay, I'm going to help them, but I'm going to be here. No. This last year, I was blessed to be a teacher for Nathan in pre-K. It was such a blessing. Not only for me, for my TAs, they had to learn. And they know now, I think in their hearts, how it is to be there for them. The kids around him, too, they do not know, too, but we have to educate them. Not only the teachers, but the families. I get to know, and Sandra, I'm blessed to have her as my friend in my small fellowship, too. She can talk to us, she can confide in us, and we can try to help her with what we can. So I think, that's what church is here for. Also, Jesus knew that ministry is messy. Special needs ministry is messy too, like any other ministry we have in church, right? Children's ministry is messy. So many things happening there. Small fellowship everywhere is the same, but it requires work, time, dedication. Sandra was so blessed to have Ruth here. Maybe in your church you are the person who is there for those families. you know, and they will feel like, okay, here, you know, they embrace me, they know that, you know, I can count on them, and this is what we can offer them. It is a great opportunity for me to share Jesus with my kids because they are there because it's Sunday school. So I am talking to them about Jesus. You know, I do not know if Nathan knows what I'm talking. Maybe, you know, he's not listening. Maybe he's just running around. But I know that, you know, I'm planting a seed on his heart. You know, he's learning Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I always tell my kids, okay, it's time to pray. Let's put our hands together. Even if they just learn that little part, they're learning something. Because in Isaiah it says that, you know, God's word is not void. Anything you say, anything you do, you know, goes back to you. Okay. And we are all part of bodies, you know, the Jesus Christ body. We have to do our own part. You know, there is no part that is no stronger than the other one. Everything is together. We have to work together. I just want to finish then, you know, just to let you know that as church, in the church and as Christians, our mission is to share the unconditional love of God to everyone. And by doing that, by being able to reach out to those, you know, special needs families, we are doing that. And we are not learning, they're not learning from us, we are learning from them. I'm learning a lot with her. I'm learning a lot with my other friend. You know, I pray with her, you know, periodically, because she has a lot of challenges, and she can share that with me, and I can share my challenges with her, because my challenges are the same as she is having. So. Okay, so I just want to finish this, you know, with this verse saying that Matthew 25:40, you know, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. If you want to know more about Regional Center, if you want to know, you know, what Regional Center you belong to or how to do that, you can talk to me. I can just let you know how to do that. If you have any questions, you know, my Regional Center might not work exactly like your Regional Center, but, you know, something similar to it, and I can help you with it. Okay. Questions for any one of us?
Myself, I mean, in my church, Orange County, Urban, so far, I mean, they have two autistic kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they all grow up already.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you say, okay, anyway, the reason I come to this class, because I want to know what church can do for them, or what we can do for them. Those two kids, one, their parents, one is lighter, lighter, but she's very young, okay. But one is very severe for that kid. I know his mom. And because of her, I come to him, I think I can do something.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, I would tell the mom, I think, no. And that kid, yes, in church, in youth in school, but I think just if you say awareness, I think not too many people are aware, because they will make difference.
Mm-hmm.
Strange noise, and couldn't sit there, see us, all of that. But the people, I think, not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know, I just imagine,
cannot
affect it so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying with them a little way, you know what, because some people just have a disability that you can pretty much engage the time. And they're out there because they don't see them, see them like trees. Many other disabilities, like how to communicate with myself, until, like for instance, the boy can be loud, you know, and then you might lose, you know, when you have a child, there's something wrong with the child.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, when we talk about it, people are aware that, you know, that's the way that we can, because the first step, the kid already is to explain.
So I think you are, I see what you did to get the text from.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very good. I think I will get some more personal information from you. I think it has to be promotion in every church, in any church, full one should learn, or one should have at least the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
More of this, I think lots of people there, if church can provide this only acceptance or only love, I believe lots of non-Christian people, they will come.
Mom, when we start school, when they start family program, she can give the sample letter. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my parents, this is my son, this is his name, this is what we like, and they will be able to help us. So you might know if they are in a annoying situation, or you know, this is what comes to you down, you know. So sometimes it's hard for us, you know, to get to know each parent, or sometimes it becomes really emotional, you know. You can write a letter and you hand it to them, you know. It helps a lot. So this is just one way as to how the mom can start planting the seeds of a letter, you know.
So, if we involve that, not only, of course, parents have to be built up first. And as I understand, actually, the young kids actually accept.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I know, the adults will understand.
They won't say, but inside the room, it's changing. Even though I am a therapist, a physical therapist, although I'm retired. But if you say, yeah, before I thought, of course I'm old-fashioned physical therapist. Before, when I thought of Down syndrome, there I didn't want to touch that engine. I cannot take it. The emotion, I cannot take it. But now, of course, much, much deeper.
I think it's what Johnson said, that because you do not know, you fear, and you do not know what to do. But once you know more about it, you get to know, then you are more comfortable with it. And then you are able to know how to help and how to talk.
For me, I oversee my children's ministry, and I learn a lot from the parents because they have experienced it, and they have a child that's old as me, who's living it, and he's breaking walls and his autism, just punches because out of his necessity. And of course, the parents are the ones who experience it the most. The more they express it, the more we sit down and talk and discuss about the needs for each child, about just specifically for her own. She expresses, she lives through, you know, where he's about to need to find a place for him, for his own. And the parents are now separated, unfortunately. And it's difficult because he, the child, you know, he still acts like a young child. And so we try to reach out to him, learn about the gospel, and he understands it. And he likes when the mom reads to him. You know, and he absorbs it. And then when he's with the dad, of course, he wants to be violent again because of the affirmation that supposedly, you know, he's getting advice from other people that are not really helping his case.
Right.
And so that's why the mom is really concerned, like, how to reach to the husband, you know, even though he's a father, but not using the right resources. And so it's very difficult to challenge that because it is specific to the child who has the autism. And the more that, you know, I learn, the more exposed I am to it too. And I'm really, you know, it's also affecting me how I approach people with special needs. And you know, it's always the approach that helps. Being aware of how to approach a child who has special needs is also important too, because you don't want to do too fast of emotion where they get scared and they want silence. And I think engaging them by reading,
definitely helps them because they listen and they understand. They understand a lot of details of things that we do, and, and that's what I've learned from the mother and how to become, I guess, the teacher for all these children and understand that we need to be aware, we need to know how to approach
people. Right.
You see someone just trying to break a wall.
Is she connected to any autism support group?
Yes, yeah, she is very vocal about her. And she has a large community that she's a part of. And I'm getting off of it, off the material. And just my part as the appointed person in our church. I'm trying to reach out to bring resources for Christians, you know, like so then they can help educate parents. Not just I focused on her for 3 years straight, and now we're working on the child, and it's just a case by case. And so we're working on the child who's 20 plus years old, and like my own age, you know, people I feared as a child growing up too, but now I have the passion for being a friend instead of being
away.
Thank you again.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. I think you can have the mom maybe, you know, maybe do a presentation, because Sandra is always open to do the presentation for us here, and to let the parents know, you know, who is Nathan, what Nathan can do, and the same, you know, maybe she can do it, since she has so many resources, you know, she can come and talk, you know, and then the family that she has in church, they can understand where is she coming from, and maybe be a support for her, and then you're not there only by yourself, but you have the support of the family and the church too. I think that's important. I pray all the time with my friend who has an autistic child, you know, is a support for her, and like I said, you know, I'm there, I'm listening to her, but, you know, she knows that I bring my own prayer request for her too. So now she sees that we're the same. She has her challenges, but I have my own challenges too, you know, so that is a different way. But, you know, I think what you're doing, praying for her or just being there for her, sometimes is what they need. You know, just listening, a listening ear, that's what they need. So, you know, little by little, then you can start from there, too.
Yeah, it's like that. Now, of course, I'm afraid that mom. Actually, I didn't see that she did.
Oh, okay.
But if we talk about the cooking group, I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't have that kind of experience. I don't have a child like that. I only can listen to her and can. I cannot really empathy. I mean, of course, I have my own challenge, but different.
But you know what? I do not know about Sandra, but I always make sure that they know I'm there for them. You know, even though she knows I do not have a child with special needs, you know, but my heart is for special needs. And I think because you're here, because he's here, they have you guys have a heart for special needs. You know, and they need to know we are here to support them no matter what. And I think just because I don't have it, you know, she confides in me too. She knows that she can count on me. You know, I hope she knows that she can count on me. You know, you see, so I think, you know, even though you do not have that empathy, just knowing that somebody is there praying for her child, I think is a great thing for her. You know, I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
sorry.